Thank you, Mr. Chair. The NCTC July 22nd board meeting. Roll call. Chair, Marv Chris.
Present.
Vice Chair, Marcia McLean.
Here.
Director Barger.
Here.
Director Pistrella. Director Lindenheim.
Here.
Director Mann. Director Caudell.
Here.
Director Hoffbauer.
Here.
Director Bishop.
Present.
Director Loa. Director Keller.
Here.
Director Newman.
Here.
And today we have an alternate in Lancaster, Director Molly.
Present.
We have a quorum, sir.
Steve, would you do the pledge for us, please? Thank you.
Rise, place your hand over your heart, and join with me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Play ball.
Okay. I need a motion and a second for the consent calendar.
I'll move.
Second. We have a motion and a second to accept the consent calendar as currently comprised for A, B, C, and D. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously.
There.
On the regular California Highway Patrol, you're up. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. I'd like to thank the board for allowing me to come in and speak. Last time you asked me to come in and cover some of the stuff on the 138, my partner, Captain Bronier, is unavailable today.
Can you introduce yourself?
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Captain Ed Cruzy from the California Highway Patrol. Last name is Krusey. So I wanted to go over the issues off the 138. First, let me kind of cover what my area covers. So I cover the Santa Clarita area. I cover from the 118 freeway north on the 5, 405, 210, up the 5, all the way to basically just north of the 138, out the 138 from I-5 to 220th west. I cover west of the 5 to Ventura County line. I cover to the Kern County line off the 138, the 14 up to Acton, all the canyon roads, the unincorporated areas all around that. Currently, basically after we lost a lot of personnel, after the governor's order to reduce personnel, we lost 417 people or officers for the Highway Patrol, which has now brought my command down to 63 officers to cover that entire area. So it's been very difficult for us. We are fortunate to have three people that are slated to come in by the end of the year. Overall, we take about 3,500 crashes per year out of my command. Since January 2016, there's been 12,120 collisions that we've investigated. And during that same time frame, off SR 138, there's been 101 crashes. So it's less than 1% we take of our overall crashes off SR 138 for the area that we cover. Now, with that said, there are some issues with that, because during that period, we also investigated 81 fatal traffic collisions since 2016. Seven of them are on the 138. So that is a substantial amount of fatalities. And so we conducted an analysis of the data that we had. And first, the data shows that the drivers are usually traveling at unsafe speeds, which I'm sure is no surprise. And that has always been one of the elements associated with it. But that's not typically been the primary element. The primary is typically crossing over double yellow lines to pass traffic, making unsafe lane changes, unsafe turning movements, as well as we did of those seven fatal traffic collisions, two of them were DUI. As an agency, we take a three-pronged approach to addressing traffic collisions. Those are education, enforcement, and engineering. Now, we've increased patrols up in the 138, and we've sent out officers to saturate the area, and we've been doing that off and on over the years, but we have increased that with specific intent to enforce speed, crossing over double yellows, whatever we find when we're up there. And it, you know, part of that is just being up in that region. But part of the issue is like right now, I have five officers to cover my entire area right now. And so to get them up to those places, we have a community-oriented policing team that one of the officers is assigned to the NENAC community and goes up there and works with them. And so we'll take a group of officers that we have. We have two officers that are specifically designated for hitting problem areas, and we'll go up and hit those areas. And so we've added and increased those numbers. And so that's part of the enforcement side. For education side, we do post when we're out there. We'll put it up on our social media to try to let the public know, hey, we are out here enforcing the 138. And then for the engineering side, we are working with the resident engineer. I have an officer that's specifically assigned to that to see if there's any mitigations that we can come up between us. In 2017, we wrote 580 citations off the 138. It dropped in 2018 to 364, and so far this year, we've written 387 citations up there. Moving forward, we'll keep deploying officers and our problem team to go up and cover those areas, but unfortunately, we are very strapped for personnel, and so when we can, we move them around, and we're trying to take an approach where we don't want to send everybody to one place constantly. We want to move them around because we have very limited resources. So we'll hit Bokeh Canyon one day. We'll hit San Francisco the other day. We'll hit 126, 138, and move them around, hoping that when that person comes around the corner, is there going to be a car there or not.
If you had a wish list, and other than getting more personnel, what would it be? Do we need to expand the roads? Do we need to do more education? What do we need?
Education would be great. I mean, the roads, the problem is, you know, we're working a case now where this one person, it's actually in Leona Valley, and literally we have video of this person passing over the double yellows around a blind corner, and the person sent it to us, read out the plate, so we got the plate, which was great. We started doing follow-up on that. We've since cited her three times. We have filed charges with the DA, and we've got a dash cam of it. It's just this, and we've did a priority re-exam for a driver's license. She's driving that bad. It was literally, everybody, I showed it on one of our training days, and to show our officers, hey, this is what these people are coming across up there. And it's not a roadway problem. It's a person going, I got to get there in time or whatever it is, and it's a complete blind corner. Everybody that's somewhat sane should know this is a bad idea. That person cut back in when the car came the other direction, came back out, and kept going. Didn't even phase them. It's just insane. So for roadway, I don't.
What if there was more turnouts, more double passing lanes, more the expansion of the roadway itself? The
passing areas would probably help, and that may increase the speeds up there. So the other issue is as they have more room to go, we're getting cars at 100 miles an hour in a 55 zone. And so they will get around, but then if someone pulls out of one of the streets up there, expecting the car to go 50, that it's going 55 and pulls out of a 100-plus mile an hour car, that can also cause major traffic collisions. So that may help, and that would be something that Caltrans controls the 138 for the engineers to look at to see what would be best for that. I am currently actually, I drafted last year because Santa Clarita is expecting substantial growth just like the Antelope Valley. The last 20 years, there's been a million increase in the population of LA County. One-third of them are in the Antelope Valley and Santa Clarita. I did a request last year because we're expecting, I think, 43,000 houses to be built in the Santa Clarita area in the next 20, 30 years. I am now submitting another one. I got the buy-off to do that, but I'm working with the county to get data for census and housing and all that other stuff for my request for more personnel. So my division has been responsive. We will be, hopefully, in the near future, getting some more personnel. So I just don't know what to say with the road. It's hard to – there's always pros and cons.
Yeah, which sections of the 138? Is this the entire 138, or is it just a section that's Avenue D, or what – and you're giving us these numbers?
Those numbers are on specific 138 between 220th West, so way out west of here, through I-5. That's the area that I cover.
Okay.
Kevin?
Would signage help? Because I know that we're doing that in some parts of the county. And if so, I mean, we can request that from Caltrans. Put up signage?
I think would be great, especially for, you know, double yellows and things to that effect.
Because, you know, the reality is, I mean, I take Sierra Highway over once in a while, and you get the people that are used to doing it that do things that I would not do because they do it every day. And I have a feeling it's the same thing here. You've got individuals that either live there or are commuting that think they know the road better than anyone else.
Yeah. And we also get a lot of, I think, someone that's trying to get from Bakersfield to Antelope Valley that aren't familiar with the road. So even when we're out there, we went out, and I don't know the number off the top of my head, but we wrote probably close to 100 sites. And literally the next day we had a fatality. And so, it does, you know, even though we're out there, we still have people that go through there, and, you know, we're not going to be able to stop.
When I talk about those signage that she's talking about, do those radar signs do any good, or is it just no?
We have some trailers, and we do deploy them. I'll have to look to see if we actually take them to 138 and deploy them off the 138.
I know there's a lot. You know, speed limit is X, and your speed so and so, and then if you're going too fast, it starts flashing. Slow down.
Right.
And I'm just wondering if, from your experience, you know, are those just making the public feel better that we did something, or is it actually doing something?
I think the ones that care, they might go, oh, wow, I'm surprised I was going that fast. But I think there's a lot, like this one person that was passing over the double yellows, that, you know, I got to get there. It doesn't matter how fast I'm going. But the other thing is, if they have a radar detector, it may kick off earlier, and that might also get them to slow down. So I think there is some positive effects to that. We do deploy it. We have a senior volunteer program, and they go out and deploy the trailer. We have a set schedule
right. That
goes out, and we deploy it constantly. And so I do think there is a benefit to it.
Ed, the guy on his phone right now, but right behind you, Drew, you hold your hand up. That's Senator Wilkes' rep. Can you meet with him and tell him that we need some more personnel?
And,
yes, sir.
And I'll look into. I'll work with Caltrans on some.
You on the signage with Caltrans?
Yeah.
We'll follow up on that.
We'll look into traffic calming measures with Caltrans.
Okay.
With signage.
And we do have an officer that's assigned to work with the engineer for the 138 as well.
Okay. Anything else?
That's it, sir.
Thank you. Very nice.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, on roll call, we have some additional members like to put into the record for roll call.
Okay, you can add him.
Yeah, okay. So Mr. Pastrella, and then alternate Mr. Perry.
L.A. County Sheriff Department.
Good morning. My name is Detective Kenwell. I'm at Palmdale Sheriff Station. Our area covers the city of Palmdale, Lake Elizabeth, Leona Valley, city of Acton, and also all the way out to Wrightwood. I'm currently assigned as the investigator there, and I just wanted to give you guys a couple numbers from our last meeting as far as statistics. As far as DUI arrests for the month of May, which I don't have any statistics for June, but for May we arrested 35 individuals for DUI. In April, we were at 31, so that has increased a little bit. As far as fatals, up until May, we were at a total of 3. But as of this week, unfortunately, we now have 6. We've had 3 in 1 week, stemming from last Sunday to this morning. Last Sunday's fatality resulted in the driver being arrested for being under the influence. Thursday's fatality was a vehicle versus pedestrian on Palmdale Boulevard and Sierra Highway. Driver stopped, rendered aid to that pedestrian, but unfortunately the pedestrian did not survive the collision. And also we had one most recently yesterday, 40th Street East and Pear Blossom Highway. That was a vehicle versus 5 motorcycles. One motorcyclist was killed on scene, and 2 were transported with some serious injuries. That's my case, so I'm still in the preliminary investigations. I'm sorry?
Any follow-up on that one? There's a lot of speculation going on right now.
For yesterday's? Yes, I'm the handling investigator, and I'm going to be just in the preliminary stages now. I'm looking at possibly some charges against the driver. He claims that he fell asleep, but I have blood draws from the driver, so I'm going to continue with the investigation and hopefully have some charges filed. But unfortunately, the captain said what may help, I think, would be lighting, especially on Sierra Highway. I've investigated numerous fatal collisions on Sierra Highway between Avenue M. Mary and all the way down to Avenue S. Some portions of the roadway are very dark. There is that bike lane on the east side of Sierra Highway. Why a pedestrian would be in the shoulder, possibly DUI, some type of influence, but that's where most of our collisions are occurring, is a vehicle versus pedestrian, but they're walking in the shoulder. So with that said, I think it would also be education. I myself have spoken at numerous MAD meetings, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, and educated those individuals who were court mandated to appear at those meetings. And I think I've been told that the response has been very positive and that they actually learned something from it. But of course, you'll have one or two individuals that may have gone back once or twice. So I think the education portion is a big help for the public to understand the whole DUI and also the DUI marijuana that we have an issue with now.
So how is it that we have all these streets with no lights, but guys are getting run over there?
I believe it's education of the pedestrian. They're party at fault. They're jaywalking, and they're in a position of the roadway where they're not seeing, or they're wearing dark clothing. That's what I have seen in the locations that they've actually occurred at.
Tell us the difference between the drunk driving and the intoxication with marijuana. The differences, are you what you're seeing?
What we're seeing with the marijuana is that they believe the drivers who are under the influence of marijuana believe that they're still capable. They may not show all the signs and symptoms of being under the influence of alcohol, whether it be the odor or other signs of nystagmus, but their reactions are still going to be very, very slow. They've actually been slower than normal. We have a few deputies that are going to be going off to DRE school here in the near future, which is going to be an 80 hours class of a classroom setting and then 1 week of field certs. And that will give the ability to that deputy to administer standardized field sobriety tests and also become an expert to testify in court. But that whole program is very, very detailed. They learn about medical conditions, and it makes them an expert. It's a very, very good program. We also have a few deputies that are going to be going off to basic traffic investigations so that they can now take a basic traffic collision report and put a party at fault. We have DUI saturation patrols scheduled up until September. We have dates that deputies are going to go out and basically work a saturation patrol, and their main focus is going to be looking for DUI drivers within the city of Palmdale. We also have a checkpoint scheduled for this Friday. I don't know the location, but that'll be another deterrent and also an education portion for the motorists. I'm still trying to put together a street racing enforcement operation, hopefully by October, in collaboration with the Highway Patrol. We did one last year, which was very, very effective. We haven't seen a whole lot of street racing activity, collision
issues.
I'll
start forwarding you all the complaints I get then.
Yes, please. Last year's enforcement was good, but we'd like to do another one.
Yeah.
Especially with all the sideshows that are occurring on these residential streets, and we've got numerous callers telling us there's skids in the roadway. And
Division and O, shooting ducks in a barrel there, man.
Yes, that's a hot spot. So as of May, our total between our motors, they've actually doubled their issues of citations from April to May. In April, they were at 449 for our four motors, and for the month of May, they issued a total of 973. So there's been a lot of enforcement with our motors, and it's been positive. Again, our total injury traffic collisions year to date is 217, whereas last year we were at 257. So that number is still a little bit lower, and I think that's based on the enforcement and also the public education.
What are most of the sites?
Most of our sites for injury collisions.
No, out of the 449 to 973, the increase?
Oh, the increase would be the hazardous citations. Non-hazardous increased also, but the biggest jump was the hazardous from 69 to 126 for the month.
Like speeding.
Speeding, seatbelt.
Yeah.
And for non-injury collisions for the year, we are at a total of 522. And for injury collisions, we're at 217. And that's all I have.
Okay. Any questions? Any comments? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Okay. Number six.
Mr. Chair, members, item six is the board. For the board is the FY 2019-2020 budget. You have this here before you. We had some very good highlights for 2018. We learned a lot in our inaugural year about budgeting and working with the county departments. Very much appreciate that, as well as working with the member agency staffs. We feel we have a very solid budget here. It has an increase for the executive director in the budget, and most of the costs are fairly neutral at this point from last year. So if there are any questions, I could answer any specific questions, but the budget breakdown is included in Attachment A. And this includes a 20,000 member agency dues for each jurisdiction, each of the four jurisdictions, and the County of Los Angeles will be doing an additional $48,000 for the two county departments, county council and the treasurer accounting.
How much for each jurisdiction?
Sir, it was $20,000. I know you had talked about increasing that to $25,000, but some of the jurisdictions had already gone ahead and done their allocations for this fiscal year through their city councils.
And Marsha, you're saying you can't?
Did you hear that?
I thought you were singing.
No. Our city had already adopted 20,000, and we'd have to go back the next budget cycle to increase anything. So
doesn't your city manager have the capability?
He may have, except that this is something that needs to go before the city council, and it's a budget thing. So.
And the county has also done a report.
Let's project that out, so that we can get it in next time, huh?
Yeah. So I'll work with the member agencies to increase that for FY 2021 to 25,000. As you can see, we have about 2,900 in the administration costs miscellaneous at the last line item. So we have about 3,000 in funds as needed.
Is there a reason why you think we would run short?
At this point, no, I don't see that, but I know the chair was looking to start to create a reserve and did not like that we were
we
that
thin. We do not
thin.
Have a reserve. If we wanted to send him to some place to represent us, we would not have enough money to do it, and then we'd have a serious problem.
Although I will say in the interim, and I don't want you to like go to Ireland or something, I think that the county
let me get that
would
Expedia
probably,
online.
The county would help support that if it benefits the entire for this year. But to your point, having a reserve in years coming would be good. But this year, we would cover that.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
And plus, we have an opportunity to look at this current budget because we did have $100,000 allocated by the county. So we're still in the process of closing this fiscal year. So there may be some money left over. I just didn't get a chance to get through that with County Auditor's Department yet.
What's the additional? I noticed that we got a pretty good jump in the County Council and Auditor Controller, as well as in printing.
Yes. So the main increase for the county is for the audit this year. The state will require an audit of us as an inaugural organization as a JPA. So that's the main increase for the state. As it relates to the printing, this was originally The 500 was just for the first three meetings that we had had. So I think we have 1,000 is a good estimate for the printing. We've been doing a lot of it electronically, and your cities have been doing the printing, so we've been keeping costs down that way. But I don't feel we'll increase over the 1,000.
So I think that maybe we can help just if we send I know it gets published online,
yes,
but sometimes we don't know when you put it there, and then we got to kind of look for it. Help us out. One of the things some of the other boards do is they drop us an email,
yes, sir,
and say the agenda and the material has been posted for you, and here's a link.
Yes.
And that way we can just download it. Then you're not printing it for
okay.
us.
Okay. Thank you, sir. We will do that.
Thank you. That'd be a help.
Any other questions? Any other comments?
Move to approve the item.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the budget, number 6. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. That's 6A and 6B.
Yes, sir.
Number 7, Metrolink update.
Alex Davis will be introducing the Metrolink item.
Thank you, and good afternoon, Chair, Directors, Alex Davis with Metrolink. Happy to report that things are strong and growing on our Antelope Valley line, both on ridership on the line and at individual stations. And we have just a few quick updates for you this afternoon. Two items, the first being an update on grant awards. We were just recently awarded $30 million from the Consolidated Rail Infrastructure and Safety Improvements Grant Program. That's a federal funding program for rail safety improvements, and that will fund an additional third main line on 4.8 miles of track in the cities of Placentia and Yorba Linda. And these are really critical, important projects as part of our SCORE program. That's the Southern California Optimized Rail Expansion, talking about improvements that reduce train congestion and enable more frequent train service. The other grant award was for Metrolink to conduct a climate vulnerability assessment, a CVA. Metrolink was awarded $520,000 in state funding to implement the study across our system, which will assess current and future risks to the system relating to climate. Those include sea level rise, seismic activity, heat, wildfire, drought, rain, and landslides that occur throughout the system. And that'll be really important as we're looking to deliver critical transit capital projects in really important regions across our system. The second update is an update on a resource for our passengers. As you may be familiar with, within the last year, we updated our passenger information system to allow our passengers to text Metrolink if you had schedule questions or information about Metrolink. That number is 1-800-371-5465. That's to our call center that you've been able to call, and now you can text. And now Metrolink is adding that texting feature to contact our security operations center, where riders can text and report something that they see on the train, any of our platforms, or in Metrolink parking lots. And that is available 24/7. And as we're looking to roll that out, more information will be available. That number will be on our trains. It'll be on our website. And that number is 866-640-5190. And again, that information will continue to be rolled out for our passengers. And if there weren't any questions on those two items, I'd now like to introduce Metrolink's new Chief Strategy Officer, Todd McIntyre, who will be leading Metrolink's planning, government affairs, community relations, procurement, and all railroad services. Todd?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and esteemed directors. Nice to see you again, Supervisor. Just wanted to introduce myself, Todd McIntyre, recently relocated back home to the LA metro area from Washington, D.C. I was chief of staff out there with D.C.'s Department of Transportation, spent some time with Federal Railroad Administration, Caltrain up north, so I've been around on both coasts. Happy to be here to serve. We appreciate, on behalf of CEO Stephanie Wiggins, your support of Metrolink generally and the Antelope Valley Line study specifically. So thank you for your time.
Wait a minute, Todd.
Yes.
No. Well, actually, it's Alec? Welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, you thank you. Welcome back. But I have more comments. I just want to publicly, first of all, thank you, Arthur. I mean, you've really behind the scenes helped to navigate the issue of the AV line. I also want to thank our North County stakeholders, cities, and agencies that have participated in the study. I mean, as you know, this has been a priority for me moving forward. I believe that there are opportunities, and Marcia, I want to thank you because I know that this is something you came down to MTA last week in order to testify. You know, I believe that transforming the Antelope Valley Line is an opportunity that right now we are perfectly in line to really move forward with. Getting input and buy-in from the agencies around this table are critical in order to inform us. And I know, Marv, you're going to make some comments, but I know Lancaster, and all kidding aside, Lancaster's had some critiques that are of value. And I think that we are doing a better job and will continue to do a better job as it relates to issues surrounding the stations. But overall, if you look at this line, it is the most used line, and there's a reason for that. There is value added as we move forward. I think it's imperative that we engage with the state as it relates to the study that's going forward and the recommendations that are in it. And I personally have supported this by putting in an allocation of funds that over 5 years worth of unincorporated MSP transit funds on these projects because I believe in the potential of this line. So I'm willing to invest because I see moving forward, if we dual track and we do some modifications as it relates to straightening the line, I am convinced that, number one, with the dual tracks, we'll be able to have more frequent, responsive service to people, both coming from down below but also to and from, whether it be late night, whether it be for Dodger games, whether it be for Lakers games. It will reach all individuals versus right now the way it's running. So I believe moving forward, we have opportunities. I'm even looking beyond that increase in line to the Kern County line because I believe that there's a huge population coming down from above Lancaster, and I think there may be opportunities there as well. So I'm exploring all avenues which would make Lancaster no longer the last stop. It would be actually a stop closer to Rosemont. So, again, I want to publicly thank, you know, you all, the agencies, my partners up here, Marcia, Arthur, you all really have done a tremendous job moving this forward. On Thursday, we're going to have a motion at MTA, and I have, as a co-author, Nigerian, Krikorian, and Hilda Solis. So I'm confident that we'll move forward, but we're going to take it the next step and really make this something that's going to increase ridership, but also respond to the needs of the constituents, not only in the Antelope Valley, but in Santa Clarita. Thank you.
Oh,
go ahead.
No, that we'll have a more discussion about the study in item 8. That's our next item.
Okay.
So we'll talk more about that.
Great. At this point, yeah, it was extremely important. I was so pleased that the interim chair had to take over because the chair had to leave, decided to put this forward to the full board. Because as a receive and file, I mean, that just wasn't going to cut it. There's too much work went into this. We've been waiting too long to have this happen. I'm not sure. Is this the correct time to ask the...
Yeah, not yet. Item 8, we're still going to get a report from Ms. Owens. We're on item 7 right now.
Got it. All righty.
So if there's no other questions for the Metrolink staff, we can go on to item 8.
Any other questions?
Yeah, Metrolink.
I jumped ahead, too. Sorry.
Who's in charge of the... And I got everybody in a room here, so y'all going to do this again. But who's in charge of these grade crossings? Because for a year... We've been trying to get some upgrades to a couple of these grade crossings. And right now, I get complaints several times a week, especially at Palmdale Boulevard. There is up to 3-inch separation now from the roadbed. It's like this, you know, when you're going over these. Sometimes you're dropping down, sometimes you're going up. I don't know whose rails those are, if they're your guys or if they're UP's. But you get a rail, guys, and then I hear, well, it's Caltrans's problem. So somebody needs to fix that because we're going to have another serious incident there, and it's going to be in the minutes that we've been asking to get this done. So that's got to get done, guys. When you leave here, go down Palmdale Boulevard, take the right lane, Do about 30, okay? Make sure you don't have any drinks in the car. So,
we'll look into that and follow up with you, Mayor. Thank you.
Any other comments? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Eight, the MetroLink Rail.
Yes. For item eight, we have Jeanette Owens from Metro Regional Rail. We have Brian Baldarama from Metro Regional Rail. And we also have Will Ritter, who's here from planning, for other questions as well.
Ms. Owens? Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and board members. Mm-hmm. We have a quick presentation.
Add up, Jeanette. Yes.
Okay. I will gauge from your interest how fast I need to go on this presentation, so just clue me in. So the Antelope Valley Line presentation is really a working group collaboration with the North County Transit Transportation Coalition here before us and all their staff members, especially MetroLink, who's worked very hard with us to formulate this Antelope Valley Line study. They've been with us for about a year, working very closely in every aspect of this study. So thank you very much. This will never have gotten done without their support. This Antelope Valley Line study was in motion by Directors Barger and Jaron to study the MetroLink Antelope Valley Line and determine an increase or a range of frequency of service to maximize regional accessibility throughout the day, as well as looking into the condition and the state of good repair of existing rail infrastructure and come up with a recommendation of needed and infrastructure and capital improvements along with a cost-benefit analysis to support the increase of service. Now, before we do that, I want to give you some context. In April 2015, the board approved a 25 fare reduction on the MetroLink Antelope Valley Line. Since the launch of that program in July of 2015, it has increased the ridership by over 30%, close to 30% according to MetroLink's data as of June of 2019. The line continues to grow. As of a year ago when we stopped subsidizing the MetroLink system, because usually we pay to subsidize a 25% fare, it continued to go to an increase of 3%. So now we're going into the Antelope Valley Line study itself. The MetroLink has 15 daily round trips that is supported by the AVTA bus support that brings it from Newhall to Santa Cruz via Processa during the short runs. These are the proposed service scenario. We have a total of six. The first one is bringing a late night service, hourly service on service scenario two, 30-minute bi-directional on service scenario three, and four, five, and six is just a different configuration of a 30-minute bi-directional service along with express service. So this cost-benefit analysis indicates that service scenario through is the best to provide a 30-minute bidirectional service. The improvements along this area are four capital improvements, one in an unincorporated county, one in Santa Clarita, one in the city of Los Angeles, and one in Lancaster. By providing these double tracking improvements, it actually reduces the single track alignment on the Antelope Valley Line from 70% to around 58%. Wanted to stress the importance of this study in regards to the 2008 State Rail Plan. The State Rail Plan really looked into optimizing rail service all across the state. So we have met a couple of times with the CalSTA in regards to this study, and we also met with High Speed Rail as well. So some of the things that we're looking at with the High Speed Rail folks is doing an integrated High Speed Rail service or a blended service with MetroLink. This is more to look at, I believe the state wants to look into providing a new low-sand corridor going all the way up the Antelope Valley Line, possibly up to Santa Clarita. Slightly mentioned Lancaster. I think Amtrak needs to take a look at that a little bit more and work with MetroLink on the rail optimization and what that would look like.
This is cool. We're not even on this.
Can you go back one?
Sure. So this scenario right now looks at a stop of the new Vista Canyon station in Santa Clarita. What Amtrak would like to do is to reduce that travel time. Right now they have a San Francisco to Los Angeles down to San Diego route. They stop at Union. They stop in Bakersfield. In Bakersfield from rail, they hop onto a Amtrak bus. Amtrak bus takes them from Bakersfield to Union Station. The bus ride is 3 hours from Bakersfield to Union Station. And so if the route now comes through, say, San Diego to Union Station now, and if they change it from San Diego to Santa Clarita, now that run, they transfer to a bus in Santa Clarita. From Santa Clarita to Bakersfield, it's about an hour and 30 minutes. So it's a reduction of approximately 2 hours of travel time. And that is what the state is really looking at and working with Amtrak. It is in their state rail plan as they see it today. They are, the state is looking into extending it possibly to Lancaster. I'm not quite sure if Amtrak is there yet. So that's something that needs further studies, along with working with Metrolink.
Yeah. What do we need to do to fix that?
To do what?
To, I mean, because I keep, these reports keep making it look like one of those old Mariner's maps where, you know, you get to the edge of the, you know, the known world, and then there's nothing but sea monsters and the world falls off. And that's happening at Santa Clarita here with everybody. And I get it, but what I don't get is, with all the growth up here, and I just sat through about 2 hours that I'm never going to get back in my life of arena meeting, and with all the growth that they're going to be putting out here in the North County, why are we looking at stopping these trains or not having the 30-minute time separations continuing north? It is making absolutely no sense to me. The tracks are there. The people are there. We're still sticking them on buses. And every study shows that every time you switch a mode of transportation for people, you get an incremental drop-off of those people.
You know, can I answer that? I mean, I actually answered, my first part was on what I was, comments before were on this issue. And rest assured, Steve, I mean, I'm not thrilled to see the bus because I know good, I know.
Ride that thing?
What?
You ride that thing?
Well, no, I know people are not going to use it. I know people are not.
Chickens, so.
I know people are not going to use it. Having said that, there are opportunities moving forward, but it's going to take us all working together. We've been talking to the state. Chad Edison is very much involved and engaged. And as it relates to the train between Vegas and Palmdale, that is not an if, I believe. I mean, for sure to Victorville, but the question is from Victorville to Palmdale. That's going to be an important component to this.
Well, I understand it's incremental, but I'm kind of getting the impression that it's like, well, maybe someday we might talk about it, maybe.
No, I hear you, but Jeanette, you know, on this, this is not coming from Metro,
right?
Correct?
Yes.
This is a state.
Yes.
And the state.
Yeah.
Well, and I think you. I think I've demonstrated that by you know everything I've been doing. But having said that, the state is going to put everything on the table. To your point, and our job now is to modify and make sure that they focus on exactly what is doable. And I believe what I talked about in terms of funding from the high speed rail, allocating funding, not taking away from the north, but actually allocating funding that's due to this region. To do a double track and to straighten up, I know we can do it.
No, not, and I'm all on board on that. Yeah. I'm just saying, what do we need? You know, we keep getting these reports from Metro and from the state. What can we do, us, the North County, Santa Clarita, Palmdale, Lancaster, NCTC, with the county, what can we do to change that from a, maybe we'll think about it someday, to, yeah, this is the next step?
I think we're already in that. I think it's in the queue. I think that is what's happening. I don't know. You know, this is the first I've seen on the bus, Jeanette.
Yes.
So I'm a little taken aback by that. But there is definitely, and if you look at the motion that we're bringing in on Thursday.
Yeah.
I think that shows a dedication, and I think that's the next step.
I'm all on board. I very much support the supervisor's support on this item. I'm just trying to see what else can we do, because I've ridden that bus.
Can I just kind of weigh in?
I'm a bus guy.
Arthur, can you go back one slide on the state rail plan?
Let me just mention one thing here. We were doing the Antelope Valley Line study. The state came to MetroLink and asked to be included. So when the state asks to be included in something, even though it may not be perfect, that's huge. We never had that. We were here by ourselves. So I don't look at this as a bad thing. I look at this as a good thing.
And that's why I asked. I said, that's great. What else do we need to do to make this come to fruition?
Support the motion for Thursday.
Got it.
You got it.
It's duly noted. We'll keep working on that.
So. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
So I just wanted, if you go back to the next slide, the state is working on that right now. They show a high-speed rail connection going up north, but that's something that the director mentioned that she's working on.
Sure.
So it takes time, but at least they're there. They're thinking about you, and it's on the plan.
They're not thinking about Lancaster.
They actually mentioned Lancaster, so that's...
Oh my God. Really?
It's very visionary,
really?
But it takes a few people to, it takes a lot of work to get there.
Yeah, but it's our tax dollars that are going into this, that are funding all this, that are doing this.
One valley, one vision.
Couldn't say it any better.
I don't think so.
So these are compatibility with the future planning process. This is also in line with the motion that we received on Thursday. This is part of the MetroLink SCORE, Southern California Optimized Rail Expansion, so it is consistent with that. And then rail multiple unit technology is something that MetroLink is going to continue to look at a little bit deeper. So the next steps. We're doing a presentation to the full board on Thursday. We have received all the stakeholder comments to our draft study. We're trying to schedule a meeting with CalSTA one more time to making sure all of Chad's comments are incorporated into the study. And then we intend to finalize the study in September. And so that closes out this study. And then we will be responding to the board in regards to the motion. So we're here to address any questions that you may have regarding the study.
Questions?
Thank you, Jen. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Comments? Motion?
I would like to make a motion that we support the motion that is going to be, that our JPA support the motion that is being made by Supervisor Barger and Aaron Najarian and the others, and also support funding for getting this Antelope Valley Line study underway, and however that needs to be worded, strongly support. Yeah. So that is my motion.
I don't think that's on. I think that's still...
We have a motion. Do I have a second?
That's not this item. Point of order, sir.
I'll
second that when it comes up, but... We're on 8, and I think that's number 10, isn't it?
No,
you're on the correct item, sir.
Excuse me, what?
You're on the correct item.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Okay, I was told that was coming up for number 10. Okay, I'll second it.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a substitute motion for the following. I'd like to support the recommendations in Caltrans, the Traffic Safety and Operational Analyst Report, dated July 1st, 2019, which identifies the SR-14 bottleneck improvements.
That's not the same.
Excuse me, Mr. Bishop.
I'm making a substitute motion. Please let me finish. I'd like to prioritize the SR-14 bottleneck improvements above the High Desert Corridor improvements and the Antelope Valley MetroLink line improvements, which were recently identified in the study completed by Metro. I would like to direct the NCTC staff to coordinate with Metro staff on reprogramming of the $270 million in High Desert Corridor right-of-way money to the SR-14 bottleneck improvements. I would also like to direct the NCTC staff to program all available Measure M subregional funds previously allocated to the Antelope Valley Metro Line to the SR-14 bottleneck improvements. So basically, we've got 80,000 people a day, give or take, commuting on the 14 freeway. and we have known bottleneck problems and people that spend more time than they need to on that freeway. It's really hindering the quality of life in our valley for everyone in the Antelope Valley that has to commute. This is a problem that's been going on for many, many years, and it needs to be addressed. And I can't sit here idly by while we direct other money for other projects when this is a project, this is something that needs to be addressed right now.
Mr. Chair, I respectfully...
Hang on a second.
I respectfully disagree.
Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second to the motion.
To the substitute motion you're seconding?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Catherine.
I respectfully disagree, and I think that the mistake that's being made, and I just had a sidebar with the chair, is it's not an either-or. If you look at the ridership on the Metrolink, highest utilization rate, the goal is to make it more so. The High Desert Corridor is only one segment of that, but that is a connectivity both for this region but also for Victorville as well, which we just had a discussion on the 138. But if that is the will of this board, then I will take that back under consideration and look at all options as it relates to that money and where it's going, because that's Measure M dollars, and I will carefully scrutinize that moving forward. With all due respect.
I can hear your opinion.
And I respect yours.
Thank you. I just think as technology moves on, we see cars become self-driving. Things are becoming more automated. And looking to the future, I think our roads are something we need to invest in. As this technology keeps evolving, I think it's a better investment.
So I think we've got some bottleneck funds that are identified, but that's not this item.
If I could speak to it, sir.
He's saying take out High Desert. Take yeah, I know. Me out of High Desert Corridor and put it into 14.
No, but High Desert Corridor is an honest item.
Well, but I think this that's is what he's saying.
No, he's saying don't fund Metrolink is what he's saying.
Okay. I think what he's saying, and like you said earlier, Catherine, it's an important component of it. So you just said that it was an important component of it. I don't think it'll pass.
We want to prioritize.
That's fine with me. I will take that under advisement, but rest assured, Measure M dollars. I mean, I think it's unfortunate, Marv, that it's become an either-or issue. And that's fine if that's what you want to do, but I would just tell you that the priorities as it relates to Metro and as a Metro director and someone who's on Metrolink, that's not going to change my position moving forward. Because I look at the ridership, and I look at the opportunities that are available, and that's what I'm going on. So if the motion's made here, that's fine, but that's not going to change the direction that I go with the director on Metro.
Mr. Chair, if I could interject for 1 second on this. I very much appreciate and respect Director Bishop, your motion and your comments. I think as a member agency here at NCTC and as executive director, we are striving to move both projects simultaneously, the SR-14 bottlenecks as well as the AVL line. Both are moving towards shovel-ready status. That is our goal, to move both the Antelope Valley line. We have appropriated $4.7 million for the SR-14 bottleneck study. We had to get that report that you mentioned in your motion from Caltrans. That was a big step for us to move forward to the next step to get to shovel ready. Not to be too technical, but it's project readiness, PAED, to get the engineering. We will hopefully at the next October meeting be able to move forward on a contract to secure the PAED consultants to get those six segments that you cite in that report shovel ready. So for both the Antelope Valley line and the SR-14, our goal is to take both to shovel-ready status. Hopefully, with the funding that we have with our sub-region, those should occur within the next 2 to 3 years as both studies move forward, go through their public process, the environmental review, and clearance. So we hope to have both projects ready to go shovel-ready by 2022.
And Mr. Chair, and I'm really, Director Bishop, I didn't know you had such an interest in this, and I'm glad to know that. So moving forward, I hope that we can communicate on things like this, because as of today, I actually have been dealing with our chair, having no idea that you were engaged in
this. I've brought it up in previous meetings before the 14 has become an issue.
But I'm glad, I'm
council
glad that
meeting, though, because we're working on a strategy that incorporates a number of these things. And I agree with you.
I think we have identified some of those fundings. Go ahead.
I'll let you finish.
I've never talked to you about it.
No, I'm good.
Okay. We have a substitute motion.
Right.
that goes through. So the substitute motion will be voted on first. I want a roll call vote.
Okay. And apologies, I did not have the full motion to, but I guess you guys had it there, the first and second. So
neither did any of us.
Roll call on the substitute motion goes first. Yeah, how we'll do this? Okay. So this is the roll call on the substitute motion.
Can you repeat the motion?
Made by Mr. Bishop. Yeah, that, I apologize. I was trying to write it, but it was.
I don't think anyone's seen it.
Okay. So the motion is to support the recommendations in the Caltrans Traffic Safety and Operational Analyst Report, dated July 1st, 2019, which identifies the SR-14 bottleneck improvements. Prioritize the SR-14 bottleneck improvements above the High Desert Corridor improvements and the Antelope Valley Metrolink line improvements, which were recently identified in the study completed by Metro. Direct the NCTC staff to coordinate with the Metro staff on reprogramming the $270 million in High Desert Corridor right-of-way money to the SR-14 bottleneck improvements. In addition, to direct the NCTC staff to program all available Measure N subregional funds previously allocated to the Antelope Valley Metrolink line to the SR-14 bottleneck improvements.
Okay, so that's a motion that was made by Mr. Bishop. It was seconded by Mr. Molly. So the roll call vote for that. Chair Chris?
Yes.
Vice Chair McLean?
Wait a second. Let me just get this clear. I'm not clear on this. So is your motion saying you do not want to spend any money on the Antelope Valley line, Metrolink?
14.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to prioritize the 14 freeway.
Okay.
And
no.
All the commuters.
No, because do you understand?
We're in a roll call. We're in a roll call, not a debate at the moment. I'm in roll call.
No.
No. Thank you. Director Barger?
No.
Director Pastrella?
No.
Director Lindenheim?
No.
For Director Mann, we have Director Molly?
Yes.
Director Caudell?
Yes.
Director Hoffbauer?
No.
Director Bishop?
Yes.
Director Keller?
No.
Director Neiman?
No.
And okay, so the motion, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 no votes, the motion fails.
Okay, we'll go on to Marcia's vote.
So now we have a motion on the table from Ms. McLean, seconded by Mr. Hoffbauer, and this is to support the Antelope Valley Line study motion that will be made at the Metro Board meeting on Thursday, allocating roughly $12.75 million of North County funds to get the AVL line shovel ready, among other things. Roll call. Chair Chris?
Yes.
Vice Chair McLean?
Yes.
Director Barger?
Should I abstain since it's my motion that's going forward?
No, I don't see any reason why you're here on this body.
Yes.
Director Pastrella?
Yes.
Director Lindenheim?
Yes.
Okay, so for Director... Director Molly?
Yes.
Director Caudell?
Yes.
Director Hoffbauer?
Yes.
Director Bishop?
Yes.
Director Keller?
Yes.
Director Neiman?
Yes.
The motion passes unanimously. Okay, next item. Next item we have, hold on.
Okay, number 9, Caltrans. Project updates.
Good afternoon, Board of Directors. My name is Jane Yu. I'm here on behalf of Osama Magala from Caltrans District 7 Program and Project Management. So I'd like to go over the updates on the projects on Routes 14 and 138. I believe you have a handout in front of you. Let's go over it together. On the bottom left-hand corner, you'll see State Route 14 improvements. Currently, the projects in blue are projects that have been completed. The projects in green are the projects that are funded from construction. For number 7, 8, and 9, they are currently in PAED. In other words, they are undergoing environmental evaluation for project approval. So number 7, PAED will end in about next month. For number 8, PAED will end around March of 2020. And for number 9, PAED will end in end of October of this year. Now, moving on, if you look on the middle column for local agency projects, for projects A through C, they are in PAED. A will finish PAED in September of 2019. B should finish at the end of next month. C will finish at the end of next month as well. D is currently undergoing design. They just started, and the schedule for that is around July of 2020 for completion. For E, it is in PAED, and it will finish in August of 2019. And F is in PAED. That will finish in end of September in 2019. G is in PAED, and that will finish in end of 2019 of September. For H, it is currently in design. It is at 65% completion. For I, it is in PAED, and that will finish in July of 2021. And for J, that is in construction. They just started about 3 months ago, and that will set to complete in fall of 2020. Now, if you look on the right-hand corner of State Route 138 improvements, again, the blue are already completed. The ones in green are funded for construction. Number 15 and 16 is being combined into one project. And we have just started the design phase, and it should be done in December of 2021. For number 18, that just began construction, and we're looking at completing in November of 2021. Number 25 is in the design phase, and it is looking at completing in August of 2022. And for number 29, it is almost done with construction. We will accept the contract sometime in September of 2019. And then for number 30, that project is in PAED, and we are looking at completing the project report in 2021 of winter. And currently we will be considering more elements for this project, so this project will go on, and I am complete with reporting for the projects.
Any questions? Comments? I have four speaker cards.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
Before you do, I think this may come up with the speakers as well. I have some information regarding planned improvements for the western segment of 138. Do you know anything about that? Specifically, 60th Street West, 90th Street West, the intersections there?
I'll pass it on to my colleague here.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Ken Young. I'm representative of the Traffic Operations Department. As it relates to the improvements at 60th Street, we're going to construct, we're in the planning phase to install a roundabout, a single lane roundabout. And that's intended to be a countermeasure against broadside accidents at that location. At 138 West, 138 at 90th Street West, we're going to install a traffic signal. And it's with that same intent to that's a countermeasure against broadside accidents.
Well, what's the time frame of those improvements?
The signal is on a faster timeline. We're moving forward with the project initiation document, which we hope to complete by 2021, and construction as soon as 2022. The roundabout, it will vary depending on we have to acquire some right of way. So conservatively 2024, but if where there's opportunities to expedite to move that process forward, we will do so, and hopefully it's sooner than that.
These are a couple of the spots that the highway patrol captain was mentioning we were having problems at?
I'm sorry?
Are these areas that the highway patrol was indicating they're having some problems?
I believe it's within that segment. And as far as the department's concerned, these are areas which we identify as high accident concentration locations. So we're tending, those are the two locations we're tending to. And kind of going back to what Captain Krusi was saying, there are opportunities. Speeding is one of those issues that's a primary contributing factor, but also the decision-making on part of motorists to when to pass or when to go through an intersection. So it goes back to that, the perception reaction time, the ability of that. So our improvements are to counteract that by providing the motorists the right of way. And in terms of the passing maneuvers, we look to install some signs to increase the awareness of people that are passing motorists. So, for instance, we may use signs that indicate pass with care. And in areas that are that prohibit passing movements.
So these are going to be interim measures pending the other safety improvements you're going to do out there?
Yeah, in terms of the signage, we could do that. We could do that immediately. And I talked.
The supervisor was referring to.
Right. I talked to my team about that this morning, and so we're looking to those measures as we speak.
There are way too many people are getting killed out there, and people getting killed is a priority for me.
Any other questions, comments?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank
we
you,
have
sir.
Some speaker cards. Reverend Glenn? Is it Oyen?
Oyen. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Pastor Glenn. I'm the pastor of Los Angeles Filipino Baptist Church. And we're starting a pre-clinic in Highway 138 in Omstar Plaza. To serve the community as a pre-clinic, community clinic. And last month, I saw two accidents in front of our plaza. A truck hit a car because the car is turning to just what, because there's no turn aisle. And I have to call 911. So what we're here is to ask you to, you know, to help approve the additional funding for the improvement of the Highway 138. And you know, I just stayed there for 2 months, and I've seen two fatal accidents. The first one, I think, a woman died. And we want to prevent that again in the future. And especially, there's a lot of hikers coming to there, and they're trying to hitchhike. And sometimes it's dangerous to just go doing like this in that road. And I've seen what we did to prevent some accident in Hiker Town, where I live. We put blue lights in our gate. Before there's the blue light, there's a lot of accident. But once we put that blue light, people started to slow down. They thought there's a police in front of there at night. So that's ever since that, we don't have any accident in front of a highway on Hiker Town in Highway 138. Maybe we can do that in some dangerous area, especially at night, where there's a turn that they cannot see each other, especially on the aqueduct, where you cannot see the one in front of you coming. So something like that. And we ask that you consider the improvement of Highway 138, the extra budget that our chairman on our Osa Town Council will discuss more.
Thank you. Barbara Roger? Welcome, Barbara.
Thank you. My name is Barbara Rogers. I'm the president of the Fairmont Town Council. Highway 138 goes 10.5 miles through our area out there. We have several memorials set up at 170th and 138 where people have died over the past few years. That particular intersection has an area where it's kind of low lying, then you come up over a rise and there is the intersection. People wanting to make left-hand turns are sitting ducks. Anybody that's coming through there like a bat out of hell, which is most of the people, if you try to drive the speed limit there, they'll run you down. They'll tromp on you, they'll tailgate you, and they'll pass you, doing outrageous speeds. And for safety's sake, I would like to see somebody, Caltrans, I assume, put in left-hand turn lanes at some of these major intersections so that when people try to make a left-hand turn, they're not just sitting there in the middle of the highway with somebody going to come up and plow into them. Also, the stop signs on the side streets, I think most of them would be much better obeyed and seen if they had lights around them like the ones in the mall have. You know, the red blinking lights that are around the outside of them. That way, at least, you know, the people might see them. A lot of times, people being unfamiliar with our area out there and not realizing that these stop signs actually do mean stop, run right through them. And when it says, you know, that things don't, that they don't slow down, don't stop, they don't slow down either. So it's really very dangerous on that highway. And it would be, if there would be, could be some money to help improve it. There's also no shoulders on that road. If you happen to go off to the one side or the other, you're liable to get your car turned over, get caught up and spun out, or something of that sort. It is a very dangerous highway, and we really need to do something, and not something that's going to take years to get it taken care of, something that maybe wouldn't cost that much. Like I say, even just left-hand turn lanes at what would be not considered a major intersection in town, but out in our rural area would be a major intersection. Thank you.
Agree with you. Thank you. Denise Shipley?
Hi, everybody. I was here also with you guys in April to talk about my best friend who passed away in October of last year at the aqueduct out there at 245th and 138. I'm here again mainly to ask in regards to this beautiful plan here. Item number 27. Item number 27 is the I-5 to the 14. That is a very huge section. And all I'm seeing is blue. And that to me says project completed. It says PAED, completed. It means the project has been approved. But there's no money for it, I guess, to get started. But that's the big section. That's the section where everybody is dying still. I understand it's a big area and it goes to the 15. But what about the 5 to the 14? You know, CHP has been out there. Thank you to CHP. Unfortunately, he left. They've written a lot of tickets. We've noticed a difference. We've noticed a big difference in speeding. There have been decreased accidents, but there are still fatalities happening, and they're happening right out at my street, and they're happening everywhere right in front of our houses. It's a small section, maybe compared to the big, huge project that they're working on, but there's a lot of deaths happening in that section.
Denise, before you leave, you said some of the enforcement out there is helping.
Yes. Yes, it has.
I would suggest that you guys talk to Mr. Wilkes' rep and Mr. Lackey's rep. Vanessa, can you hold your hand up? There she is. You can talk to her and have them get some more help out there to those people. We'll try to get the turnout lanes. Caltrans is going to come up next.
I have another concern in that, and that is that, you know, as the previous woman mentioned, the shoulders, it's all soft shoulders. If there is, in fact, an accident and you need emergency vehicles to get to you, which takes an obscene amount of time as it is, if they have to drive on those shoulders because there's traffic, it's not safe for them either. There are several areas where they would not be able to get their emergency vehicles through.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jeff Zimmerman.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. Thank you for allowing me to speak. I come to you today as the president of the Oso Town Council, and I'm respectfully petitioning your agency to secure funding for badly needed improvements for the Northwest State Route 138 corridor, as described in the Kimley Horn Early Phasing and Implementation Moratorium dated July 18th, 2017. According to our local news sources, a fatality accident occurs approximately every 80 days on Highway 138 in the Western Antelope Valley. There are serious other bodily injury crashes and motor vehicle collisions that shatter the lives of our community residents, as we only have one major way to access the towns of Nenak, Holiday Valley, and Three Points Community. Since our last meeting on April 22nd, we've had another fatality accident at 290th Street West at Avenue D, an equestrian accident involving extrication of a horse at 90th and D. We've had six critical injuries at the intersection of 228th and Avenue D in front of our community market, and another vehicle flip over at 190th and D, all caused by high-speed traffic collisions. We've asked for additional CHP presence to help slow and calm traffic, and we want to thank Commander Ed Cruzy for his task force coming out. We've petitioned for widening and providing passing lanes. We've asked for escape shoulders and petitioned for improved sight lines of our highway. We're once again petitioning your body to work with Caltrans, Metro, the State of California Legislature, and the County Board of Supervisors to secure funding, whether it be through SHOP funds, Measure M funds, or Senate Bill 1 funds, to help improve safety conditions on Highway 138. The Kimley Horn Report estimates emergency repairs to Highway 138 in the amount of $70 million, and we hope you'll work tirelessly to secure the funding. As the President of the Town Council, I want to thank you for your hard work and dedication to improving life safety in our area. I especially want to thank Victor Lindenheim, who came out personally to spend an afternoon with us to see the traffic hazards along 138. He got to witness a vehicle accident firsthand. We were nearly run off the road in a head-on, and with him, he also came out to help us pick up some garbage that was left behind. So I want to thank Victor personally for coming out, and we want to thank you for your support on improving Highway 138. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
May I make a comment?
Sure.
I did see the aftermath of an accident, which was several hundred feet from Mr. Zimmerman's home the day I was there. It was pretty dramatically demonstrated. Also, this is not just a problem, obviously, for people who live up there. I was at a Government Affairs Council meeting for the Chamber of Commerce in Santa Clarita, and surprise, surprise, our chairman said he is in a harrowing situation where someone passed him and put him in a situation where his life was at risk. And someone else on the committee mentioned coming back from a trip to Sacramento on the annual Santa Clarita bus visit, where we bring up a number of people. It was late at night, and there was an unsafe passing situation there as well. So even people from Santa Clarita are starting to see what's going on 138.
Go ahead.
First of all, I want to thank you all for coming. I guess my question moving forward is, I know that there are road funds through, and this will be for you, Mark Vestrella, through SB1. Mm-hmm. What are the chances of us being able to set aside SB1 funds as it relates for this region?
SB1 funds are primarily for maintenance and operation of the system, Supervisor, but it's a matter of prioritizing where those funds are spent, so we could look at that through your office.
So, yeah, I'd like to do that, because if you want to look at health and welfare and safety, even from a first responder standpoint, I think it'd be important for us to take a look at that, because I've driven it, and there are areas, and I would even argue to the point, I don't know who made it about the left-hand turn lanes, even doing those in some of the areas where there's a blind area would be dangerous to me, and that's why I think signage is going to be important, and I really agree 100% on the blinking lights, and you can do that with solar now. It's done quite a bit, and matter of fact, it's done out heading east. Mm-hmm. We will review that as well, working with Caltrans, but there are some things that can be fixed immediately, and then other things that are long-term as it relates to the SB1 funds. And I think I hear a commitment up here, and Victor, I want to thank you as well, but working together to look at how we can move these projects forward. But in the immediate, at this time, we need to address the signage and enforcement.
What about those?
Wait a minute, Steve, Marcia.
Thank you. I totally agree. I wrote down here when one of the speakers was speaking. It just seems that additional signage and lighting would be a pretty inexperienced and easy fix.
Inexpensive?
Inexpensive.
Inexpensive.
What
did I say? Inexperienced. Oh, well, that's stupid. Inexpensive way to kind of do an interim fix so that people can at least feel safe on the roads. And I would certainly support.
Let's get
that.
The next guy up here, then we can.
What about some of those delimiters? You know, like we did some of those along the 138 out east, where those orange pylons. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Anybody know what I'm talking about here? I'm getting all these blank stares.
I don't know what they are.
They're those orange
tubes,
and it's got a black base, and you stick it down with some goop.
Technical.
I'm as technical as I'm going to get.
Mr. Chair, if I could.
They're reflective. Yeah. Plastic sticks that let you know if you're not where you should be.
Mr. Chair, I'll if it's at the will of the board, I'll convene a meeting with the appropriate agencies to see how we can pool our resources together and see what we can do from signage.
I think that you can see a consensus of this board is that we want it fixed.
Yes, sir.
So regardless of how we need to get it done, let's just get it done.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
Yes. I understand.
Caltrans is going to tell us what they can do and can't do. We need to find some money so they can do what they do.
Correct. We'll look into it. Yes.
Okay.
It's not like this is a new problem.
No. Osama.
So we're on item. That's it. On we're on item 10, sir.
Okay.
So Metro. This, in the instance of time, we received word that Metro staff could not be here today on highways. Mr. Ansari and Mr. Panchuca. The update is here in front of you. In the instance of time, Mr. Chairman, I don't know if there's any questions on the item in front of you. If not, we can move to the next item.
We have a motion to receive and file. We have a motion and second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Okay.
Okay.
Number
item
11.
Item 11.
I'm going to turn the meeting over to Marcia for this. I have a conflict on the
Gomez here.
I own property.
Ms. Gomez here. So today we have with us Diana Gomez, who is new to our region on the high-speed rail, and she's going to be introducing herself. And then we have a separate item on item number 12 right after this that would be taking a position on the high-speed rail. Ms. Gomez.
Thank you. Good afternoon, board members. My name is Diana Gomez. I am the Central Valley Regional Director for the California High-Speed Rail Authority. And as you are aware, Michelle Boehm has left the authority and went to work for the City of Los Angeles. And as the Central Valley Regional Director, I've now been, have moved, my area now will cover from the City of Merced all the way to the City of Palmdale. So I'll be overseeing the Palmdale to Bakersfield segment. A little bit about me. So I've been with the authority now for 7 years as the Central Valley Regional Director. Prior to that, I was 24 years with Caltrans. My last assignment at Caltrans was Deputy Director of Operations in District 7. So I wanted to just give you a quick update on the Bakersfield to Palmdale section. First, just the overall in several weeks ago, FRA, the Federal Railroad Administration, approved our NEPA assignment application, which now means that we will be able to continue to move forward with our environmental documents as for the CEQA and NEPA, just like Caltrans has that same assignment. So the approval was received. We received the MOU, and that's currently being reviewed by our attorneys, and then it would be forwarded to the governor to for signature. So we're hoping that that will be finalized rather quickly. A couple of Updates, just this past week, our board approved a request for qualifications for tracking systems. And so that contract would lay down the tracks between the city of Bakersfield and San Jose. So we're doing first request for qualifications. That within that contract itself, it also includes 30 years that they would maintain the infrastructure for a 30-year period. And we're hoping, so we'll be going back to our board later this year with a shortlisted of bidders, and then the procurement process will start, and hoping to award that contract in the spring of next year. The other thing I want to mention is the Bakersfield to Palmdale, the draft document. We do have one issue that we are still working through with the Chavez Center, and we're hoping to release the draft for comments in, I would say, January of 2020. We were expected to release that actually in this past couple of this past month, but we're still working with the one issue, and it looks like we made significant progress with the Chavez Center, and so we're hoping to have that out in 2020. The other is also the Palmdale to Burbank, which would also be released later this year. So that's just a quick update on the authority. I do reside in Fresno, and I do intend to continue to make trips up into this area and meet with our stakeholders and answer and listen to any of your concerns in terms of how we continue to move our project forward and how we can continue to work with our other partners. So with that, if you have any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Gomez.
Thank you, Ms. Gomez. I just wanted to ask one question. Did I hear you say, are you taking over the Palmdale to Burbank segment as well?
No, just to Bakersfield to Palmdale. And our CEO is in Southern California this week, and they are interviewing candidates for the South Regional Director, which would then pick up the rest of the areas.
Okay. Thank you very much. Are there any questions for Ms. Gomez?
That was my question.
Yeah. Yes. So just to dovetail onto the supervisor's earlier comments about extending Metrolink North, when we first started talking about this project, and I was a young man.
Me too.
Yeah. We talked about the bookend, which somehow has changed to Anaheim, but the bookend was supposed to be, the concept was supposed to be to bring northern rail projects into meet high-speed rail and southern rail projects into meet it to make it a continuous extension. I want to reiterate that we need to continue to look at extending the Metrolink line up over the Tehachapis, and we need your help to do that if we're ever going to see this thing ever work.
Okay, that's as I get up and running, that's I will be working with the staff and to understand what the concerns are and meeting with the stakeholders and see how we can make that happen if that's a possibility.
Any other questions? Do we have any speakers on this item?
We do not.
Thank you very much.
You.
Appreciate
Thank you,
Ms. being here. Okay, Mr. Crisp. We have one more item on this.
Item
Sorry.
12?
Yes. Item 12, which is the talking about a position paper on the Bakersfield to Palmdale section and then also on the Palmdale to Burbank. Have you all had a chance to take a look at this? And do you have any comments, or would you like to direct staff to do anything other than what is in this document?
Since there's a doc.
Well, no, we were going to be drafting a position paper letter and send it off to High Speed Rail folks.
So I think the document, you know, pretty well addresses the issues that we've all brought up here with grade separation issues, visual impacts, and noise. I'm scrambling here to find my copy of it here. Arthur, can you scroll that up just a little bit here? So the Bakersfield to Palmdale section. It talks about minimized noise, visual impacts. It talks about grade separation issues. And then if you scroll down a little further, sir, and then it talks about Santa Clarita, the support Santa Clarita's concerns. I think that's all fairly consistent with what we've been talking about all along here. I don't see anything new or different. I move that we move this item forward. Direct staff to prepare that document.
Right. It would be two separate letters. Correct.
We can whatever
each.
The board would
I
like.
Would
I'd
think
like
it probably better to do one for each segment.
Well, maybe if we just have the make sure that the language is somewhat consistent with adding that they're very concerned about the undergrounding.
Right.
But I think that the bottom line is it's noise, grade separations, and visual impacts.
Right.
So I think that as long as we incorporate that, I think we're fine. And if we want to do two letters, that's fine, or put it all in one. Whichever way works better to convey the message to the High-Speed Rail Authority.
Yeah,
I think it probably would be better because then it would just be better for their EIRs because they're separate EIRs.
Okay.
Yeah, they have separate
okay,
documents.
Well, I'll modify
and then we'll also
reflect that then.
We'll also attend meetings and testify as well as the process moves forward.
Great. Okay. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Restrea. Thank you down there, too. Okay. Roll call, please.
Do you want to do roll call? Okay. So chair is conflicted of Vice Chair McLean?
Yes.
Director Barger?
Yes.
Director Pestrella?
Yes.
Director Lindenheim?
Yes.
Director Molly?
Yes.
Director Caudell?
Yes.
Director Hoffbauer?
Yes.
Director Bishop?
Yes.
Director Keller?
Yes.
Director Newman?
Yes.
The item passes unanimously.
Thank you very much. I believe Director Chris is probably back.
On cue. Okay. We're on item 13.
Move to approve the item.
Are we going to have the elections today?
No, sir. The elections would the officers would stay under this item. The officers would stay the same until the October 21st meeting. We would seek to redo the board leadership at the October 21st meeting.
Okay, I have a motion.
Move the recommended action.
Well, I already did that.
And you got a second.
I have a motion. Second, Catherine.
No, I was just curious. No, what is the reasoning behind moving? I mean, I don't have a problem with it, but what was the thinking behind moving?
Because we skipped a meeting, I think, when that, and we're trying to just regroup.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. I'm sorry. I thought the chair was going to answer that one. But the
the chair does not want to answer that.
I saw that, sir. Now I'll jump right in and go right back into the pool there. Yes, so we've
I think it's because of the November elections, it's moving them in and out.
Yeah, we felt it would be better coincide.
So we don't
rather
have someone that would carry over on a November.
Right. That was, yes, that's the answer.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
We got it.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. 14.
14 is the executive director contract. I could go into a little of a discussion of the item here, sir, but in the instance of time, if you'd like me to.
I will move it.
We have a motion. We have a motion and a second. Comments? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
And thank you for your confidence and look forward to a good year ahead. Item 15, sir.
Future agenda items.
I'd like us to make sure that we get some sort of perspective on what's going on with these choke points. 14 choke points Mr. Bishop brought up.
Yes,
I think we've had a discussion about that in the past. I'd like to get that agendized so that we can get a specific report, because I keep being told there's money set aside, that work is being done.
Yes, sir.
And I think this just gets confusing and divisive when that.
We will agendize it for the October 21.
Like that,
yes, sir. October 21 meeting, we'll have a full report.
Want to agendize that?
Or well, then at the next potential, whatever's convenient, But right, I just want to make sure we don't lose track of it.
Yes, sir.
There's too many people sitting on that freeway, so we need to identify the funds and how we're going to get that resolved.
I don't need it on our agenda. I want it on your agenda.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Got it. Done. So noted. We have legislative updates, item 16.
Welcome.
I will be Michael Turner with LA Metro, and I will be doing both the federal and state update today. So I'll quickly go through a few things at the state level. The legislature is obviously on recess. I want to just touch on a couple things with respect to the budget and a couple bills that we've been working on. First, with respect to the budget, the budget's been adopted, obviously, and there was a flurry of activity to try and get various line items into the budget. All that went away, and the only real line item that was left in LA County was some funding for the sound walls in La Cañada, so we're able to move those forward. But a lot of the other line items that were talked about just basically went away during the process. The main issue right now is there are a couple bills that we are working on. If you remember before, I've talked about efforts to try and restructure a couple of the SB1 categories. The first one was where there was an attempt by the Bay Area to restructure the active transportation program. That bill has not proceeded. There was a lot of support from the local level since that money goes to the cities. And so there was a lot of opposition that was came from LA County to oppose that, so we're glad that that bill went away. The next one, or the next attempt to restructure SB1 funds, is in what's called the Local Partnership Program. There are some counties mostly in the Inland Empire that would like to see that be more of a locally driven program instead of a state-run program. Whenever you do that, you've got to talk about a formula. There's a bill now, SB 277, that would shift that money to be mostly a formula-based program. And either way, we think we do well. If it's a state program, we do well in competitive programs because of the congestion in our region. If it's a formula-driven program, we do well under the proposal in the bill. Our overall concern, though, is that SB1 was really geared to be a state-driven program so that the state could deal with its facilities, such as the ones you've been talking about all day up here. So we think that it was important under SB1 to maintain that state discretion so that they could match the local resources that are being put forward for transportation projects. So that bill is SB 277. We are not going to take a position on it because basically in our view, we would do well under any circumstance, but it's basically something the CTC could control. And any time somebody does a bill that tries to tie the hands of a gubernatorial appointed commission, it tends not to fare well in getting gubernatorial signatures. So we'll keep an eye on that bill. The other bill I just want to mention doesn't have a direct effect up here, but there's been a lot of confusion about the statutes that govern the type of personal identifying information that can be used in toll lanes. It also impacts what kind of information can be shared on smart cards, things like tap cards that transit agencies are using. So we're doing a bill, SB 664, to try and clarify that statute. But I think Macy might be something we want to keep an eye on for smart card technologies and things. And then, of course, in California, we have a new Secretary of Transportation, David Kim. David Kim has been in Washington for some time, but David is an LA native, a California native. He actually held my position a few years back. And we are very excited to see David take that position. He is very familiar with Los Angeles County. I should say the entirety of Los Angeles County. But I would certainly urge some attention be brought to David's eyes and ears about the work that's going on and the work and needs of the North County. We'll be, of course, reaching out to David. Like I said, he's very familiar with LA, so we don't need to brief him on this on LA in general, but I would certainly encourage the coalition to reach out to David to let him understand the priorities up here. Then at the federal level, a couple issues I just want to touch on. There has been some work and the House T&I committee to develop a reauthorization bill, but we're not holding out any hopes that there will be a reauthorization bill before 2020 or 2021. So even though there's some drafting going on, like I said, we're not expecting to see a big reauthorization process move forward. I do want to note that there is a proposal by the Trump administration to redo what's called the CAFE standards. They're now calling it the SAFE rule, but it's basically the federal government revisiting and changing the rules related to auto emissions and how much pollution cars can emit. What that means to California is that in the course of implementing that rule, they would remove California's ability to implement its own auto emissions standards. That rule is forthcoming. We've been expecting it to be issued soon. It could be issued in August. However, once that happens, it sets off this domino impact that has a number of problems associated with it. In the end, it could mean that California would not be able to meet its air quality requirements, which would mean we could not get money for mostly the highway projects in our region. But in the short run, what happens is it just throws a wrench into the works on how the planners evaluate projects and modeling for highway projects. And that slows things down. And that means things can't get funded. So the first thing that we expect to happen is for the rule to get issued, then we expect lawsuits to be issued, and then we'll see if the rule is in effect during that period or if the rule, if there's an injunction barring implementation of the rule. But like I said, long term, there could be issues with the ability of the state to get funding from the federal government. But in the short run, it really messes up the modeling of highway projects, and that causes delays. That means things get more expensive. So we're keeping a close eye on what happens with that. The last issue I want to mention is the debate going on in Congress with respect to rail car acquisitions, but I'll just call it rolling stock from state-owned enterprises. There was a hearing by the House T&I committee where basically they were raising concerns about transit agencies purchasing rolling stock from state-owned enterprises, which is essentially rail car and bus manufacturers from China. There has been a lot of discussion about this, and there are now proposals in both the House and the Senate to address this. The House version only applies and would prohibit the purchase of future rail rolling stock from any state-owned enterprises. The Senate version includes both bus and rail, and we're anticipating that now that there's been a outlines of budget agreement implemented, we would see some action on those. The House version is in the defense authorization, which isn't a part of the regular appropriations process. But now that there's a budget agreement, we're expecting these to move forward. And there will be this item is obviously conferenceable since the House and Senate versions are different. But like I said, the House version right now is just rail. The Senate version is bus and rail. And that's going to have to get rectified during the conference process. So with that, I'll conclude, unless there are any questions.
How does that affect Kikazaro and BYD?
You don't have to pay attention to Mike. Yep. Jason, let us ask the questions, okay? You can answer it.
Okay. So Kinkishirio is not impacted because they are not a state-owned enterprise. It really applies to CRRC, which is the consortium in China that manufactures rail cars. We have a contract with them, and it does not this legislation would not affect that contract. The BYD would be impacted by the Senate version and not necessarily by the House version if we're talking about just buses.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Michael, you always do a great job.
Thank you, Mr. Turner.
Public comments.
You have some speaker cards, sir?
I do. Yvonne?
Yvonne DuVernay Malachowski. And you've already discussed the state roads in the Antelope Valley under number 9. And what is missing, which has been on past agendas, but I've been to the last several meetings, and you do not address the county roads. So my concern for a future agenda item is the Public Works come back and review the Antelope Valley County roads. Please, I'd like to know what's going on without having to go to a website somewhere. Okay? And they used to have a nice map, like the map that we just had. Okay, thank you. That's
Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to include that because, in fact, Mark Pistrella, we have an outline because obviously with SV1 dollars coming in, we've triaged where the priorities are and up in the Antelope Valley, especially because of the weather, there are priorities. So we will include that. I don't know if it be a talking, but we'll just have an updated slide each.
Yeah, receiving file.
Yeah.
I have a copy right here. I'd be happy to provide it to you right now.
Okay, thank you.
And there is a lot of work going on in county growth that we're proud of and want you to know about.
Yes, and I'd like to come here.
Yeah, and it is on our website as well. I'll show you where.
No, you've told me that in the past.
I'll show you where.
I still haven't been there.
We'll follow up.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Vaughn. Jason Zink.
Good day. I'd just like to request that all these meetings and stuff be posted on the city websites and supervisors' barters with attachments and stuff, and they should also be recorded. If you want to engage the public, we have to use today's technology. I mean, we could just set a camera with a tripod out back, I mean, right here, and record this whole thing just so that people can know what's going on. And plus links to your website so we know all these papers and stuff like that. I think there should be one website with this thing and links to your city websites. Talking about Highway 138 and going to Holiday Lake out there, there's no turning lanes. We almost got plowed coming to go look at the lake over there because we're looking at the tri-colored blackbirds. And the county barger, you said you're going to do better than Mike Antonovich. That whole lake is dry. The tri-colored blackbirds have no nesting areas. That there should be a paved road going all the way there. There should be a nice park, a lake. You could get aqueduct water and use it as a recharging pond. There's so much you guys can do. And I don't know why years and years go by. To me, it's just simple. Put a turning lane in, pave a road, put some park, and put aqueduct water in the lake. But and also, I suggested that when they did the Highway 138, that they did not the right-of-way on just the center and go out, that they did the right-of-way on just one side of the highway. That way they could have built a brand-new road over here. You wouldn't have, you know, people having Caltrans workers directing people. Yeah. East side and the west side. You could cut it by the cost by 25% and the time to construct, and it'd be safer. So why buy the right-of-way and then make people, you know, do two lanes over here, and then when that's done, then go back and redo the old road. And then it's simple, easy. Austin, you're right on. We got, with your motion, 80,000 people versus 10,000 people, commuters. I guarantee you the voters in Antelope Valley would back your motion easily. Also, we can form a local district under state law that we can tax ourselves to pay for the bottlenecks, and then the state will reimburse this district. That's been on the books for years. Why we haven't done it, I don't know. You think the home builders and everything would be forward. We should give Metrolink, just ask Sir Branson. You should meet with Sir Branson Barger and say, take over Antelope Valley Line. Let's do an experiment, and let's use the private sector to build the Metrolink. You know? And also, you got to remember, Elon Musk and him are now partners. Elon Musk wants to do the digging machines, the big tunneling machines. Why can't we build those tunneling machines here in Antelope Valley, since that's the future, instead of buying them from Germany? We could create a couple thousand jobs right there just doing that. Why can't we put an impact fee on LAX? A dollar, there's 75 million people that could fly into LAX. A dollar impact fee, that pays for all the airline in Palmdale and plus the soundproofing around LAX. Just a dollar on every airline ticket would be $75 million that we could pay for Palmdale Air Services, subsidize it.
Time is up.
Okay.
Jason,
we should have the Metropolitan Bypass. We need to bring that back from the 1960s.
Okay. We'll take a look at it. Thank you. Okay, before we adjourn, Marcia, you had a comment?
Yes, I just wanted to mention someone who has been with the city of Santa Clarita for a very, very, very long time, has been entrenched in our city for a long time, has invaluable knowledge, and who is retiring, Mr. Michael Murphy. We can't thank you enough for everything that you've done over the years, and anytime we can applaud you, that's what we will do. Thank you.
Thank you, Marcia. Anyone else? Any other comments, suggestions? Okay, we stand adjourned. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.